With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Talking with Bob Motta, defense attorney and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, about the Delphi murder case. I want to ask you about a possible appellate issue that could arise down the road, should Richard Allen get his attorneys back? What if he's found guilty? If he gets Baldwin and Rosie back, can he then go back and look at them and say, hey, all this stuff happened early on. You were kicked off. I didn't have effective counsel. Is that something that could be looked back upon? Or if he gets them back, would there have to be some sort of hearing that states, no, you're waiving your right to any of that by getting these two attorneys back that we've already kicked out?
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of ways it could go. Mm-hmm. I think if it stays as status quo, that they have an absolute slam dunk Sixth Amendment winner. So if he gets convicted, I think he's going to get a retrial. Mm-hmm. I think it's a structural error, meaning that, you know, the act itself was just incorrect. And I'm talking about stripping him of his counsel of choice, because when they entered their pro bono appearance as private counsel, it changed the analysis. Because like I was saying, in this country, you know, it's been, even though it's inequitable, you know, that indigent defendants, when they're appointed attorney, that you don't really have any choice in the matter.
Yeah.
The argument is that, you know, that there's continuity there, that they've created this relationship, that it's changed from just being appointed counsel to now it's something different. But, you know, the argument has always been that, you know, you didn't handpick them. You didn't pay them. You know, it's, you don't have the right to complain that they've been removed because we gave them to you to begin with, you know. Whereas when these guys fell on the sword and entered their pro bono appearance, which, so people understand, would financially ruin them. Like, to try a case like this, you can't try anything else. There's nothing else you can do in your practice. You can't take on new clients. You know, all your existing clients, you're handing off to other lawyers in your firm because you're focused on this one case because it's that kind of a case. It's a huge case. And so, you know, so that leads to this second petition and a couple other things they asked for. So everybody has been asking for, including Rosie initially, was the transcript of what happened back in chambers, because allegedly Gull said that it was being recorded, which means that there was a court reporter in there. She was taking a transcript of it. And I actually, myself and a friend and I, had emailed the clerk and the judge because I was sitting in court, and David Hennessy, the one attorney that I was talking about that was representing Baldwin, told me that, look, there's an act in Indiana where the public can request a hearing, an audio hearing of the record, that I could go in and I can tell the judge or the county clerk or the person who is basically the court reporter, you know, look, I want to hear this. We've got a right under the act to do it. And so Gull actually emailed me back and said it was private and confidential. Mm-hmm. So not only did she tell that to me, she also told it to the attorney that filed the brief. Okay, the petition and the brief, you know, who wanted a record of the transcript. She wanted to see what happened back there. She needed to know. And Gull told her the same thing. It's confidential, even though that she has entered a limited appearance in the case. So it's crazy. And then today, a new order just dropped that the Supreme Court just told Gull, look, okay, we know that counsel has requested a copy of the transcript of what happened on the 19th in your chambers. And you have till the 16th to either prepare a response as to why you have refused to turn that over, or you're turning it over. So
are there any valid responses that she could give as to why she's not turning it over? Or, I mean, is this something where it's just, the reason is because it's going to not look very good on her.
I mean, that's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's no valid reason under the law.
Yeah.
You know, there really isn't. I can't think of any reason why she could tell the Supreme Court of Indiana, sorry, but I can't show you the docket of what happened back in chambers. It's just, she's going to have to turn it over. And then at that point, the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
I don't think she thought it was going to play out like this. I don't think that she thought these guys were going to fight, mm-hmm. you know, and it's putting her in a really bad spot. So there's a lot of pressure being applied to her. So we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, there's folks out there that think that the fact that the leak came out of the defense attorney's office is incredibly egregious. I don't feel that it's quite as egregious as everyone else does on that side of it because of the fact that it was contained. And beyond that, it wasn't as it would be a different situation if we were to have found out if she had a hearing, which she should have done. Like, even people on that side of the argument agree that she should have had a hearing so that all the facts could come in.
Sure.
You know, had it turned out that Andrew Baldwin had personally disseminated the pictures to somebody to leak, that's a different story.
Different story, yeah.
But if it's a buddy who was an attorney and a longtime friend comes into the office and skulks around and gets into the war room and sneaks pictures and then goes out and, you know, it's like people are like, oh, they should keep them under lock and key. That's not how it works. I mean, like, a prosecutor's office is a very secure office. Like, the doors are locked. You know, there's a receptionist up there. They just don't let anybody in. A private attorney's office is much more open, especially when you're inviting like somebody that you think to be a close friend of yours in, and the guy just like sneaks off and surreptitiously takes photographs without your knowledge and then goes out and disseminates them. You know, I mean, you're not gonna like in a case like this, I keep trying to explain to people that they've got a like what I would call a war room mm-hmm. where they have all the evidence out. They've got probably cork boards, you know, I mean, you're trying to work your case.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not reasonable to think that every time you go in and out of that office that you're locking the door in your own office. It's just not how it's done, you know?
And it's, you're reasonably thinking your friend, a longtime friend, would never do something like this. They, in fact,
ever or any of your employees,
You
know, it's just not something that's like, this isn't like it was a random client wandering around, somebody who called, made an appointment, had no intention of hiring them.
Yeah.
Baldwin leaves the room and this fake client goes out and stands. This is like a buddy of his, mm-hmm. like an attorney that went in and did this, you know, like completely betrayed the guy.
Yeah.
You know, like you never, you know, so I just have a different feeling about it. And I certainly don't think it rises to the level that she could remove his counsel of choice, which they were at the time that they entered their appearances pro bono. I don't think it's anywhere near that. There were many other remedies that she had at her disposal. She could have fined them. She could have put them in jail. You know, I mean, there's a lot of sanctions that she could have done, as opposed to removing the two people that are fighting to the death to try to make sure this guy, if he is innocent, doesn't get convicted. So
yeah,
it's a mess, man. But yeah, the 16th is a big day on it. That's when responses have to be due. But, you know, knowing this case, there's going to be more stuff coming down the pike in between, man.
By next week, it'll be a whole different conversation. It's
for just, sure. Yeah, for sure.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.